It is Monday, which means it is time for another edition of the Flagrant 2 podcast with me, Bill Ryder, and him, Reed Forgrave. And just so I can be the one to tell you, so Reed doesn't, Reed was up all night with his kid, so he's in a real bad mood.
I'm having a bad mood. I need a nap, bro.
People care. I wanted to be the one to share it with them. Why do you subscribe to the Flagrant 2? Well, Forgrave talks about his life a lot, and I'm real interested. Like that time he had to get milk and his wife was mad at him. It was real interesting. And that's why I subscribe, download, rate, and review on iTunes. I'm sorry, too, apparently. Good old iTunes on iTunes. I'm an idiot. Listen on SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, or the ReadForgraveExperience.com. Operation Born Ready All-Stars has not been set aside. Anyone who stands in the way of Lance Stephenson and our quest, Reed Forgrave, and my quest, and Joey Levin, producer Joey, to make him the Eastern Conference captain, we will cast you a thunder. I don't even know what that means, and I'm pretty sure I pronounced it wrong. Send Lance Stephenson to the All-Star game. We've got LeBron James coming up in the interview in a few minutes. Is it a real LeBron James or is it a fake LeBron James? Not
or
telling
be a
you.
Real LeBron James being asked real questions or a real LeBron James being asked fake questions.
As Einstein postulated, are any of us real? He didn't postulate that, but he did talk about time as an illusion.
You used the word asunder earlier, but mispronounced it. But I just wanted to.
I did. I went a thunder.
If it was pronounced better.
A member of the thunder. What are you talking about? Like a lightning.
Asunder is a great word. I just wanted to compliment you on the effort to put out a really great word there. Way to go.
The effort was strong. It wasn't strong by Reed Forgrave. He had a bad night. Like,
this is going to make my day is just heading in a downward trajectory. And it did not start at a very high spot.
Speaking of a downward trajectory, every excuse except that my kid was up all night excuse has been made here. The Cavs, Reed Forgrave, have now lost 4 of 5. Those losses, though, to put in context, come to the powerhouse Nets. And Magic. the Nets, Magic, Pelicans. I think the one that really was like, holy shit. Please write that down, Joey, because we don't swear on this podcast. Thank you, producer Joey. A blowout last night against the Knicks. Reed Forgrave, the question that is haunting the dreams of every Cavs fan, at least those who are lucky enough to be sleeping, which you didn't get to do last night. Is this real? Or is this another LeBron James team figuring out sort of their issues in themselves and their identity? Because it is a brand new LeBron James. This is not the Cavs team of last year. It's a brand new basketball team.
Yep. I am much more worried about this team than I am about the Warriors. The Warriors' struggles to me are just kind of whatever. They'll figure it out. I worry about this team. They are old and
did you just answer the question for later in the show? Are we doing that? Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, we did. I'm worried
about
when
I think about LeBron, that's why Netflix season 2, it's spoiler, what are you doing? When the aliens invade, what? Actually, no, I promise, no aliens.
What about you? Like, this strikes me, the fact they have the 27th ranked defense in the NBA, it strikes me as a problem. They can score. LeBron looks like LeBron. LeBron's great. He will always be great, but the surrounding pieces, I don't know if I like how they fit.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade's playing like hot garbage.
Yep.
If we're being fair, and they are, I'm pretty sure they're middle of the pack or worse. Reed Forgrave in 3-point shooting, I believe.
Yeah, that's what you need with a LeBron team.
18th, I think they're 18th in 3-point shooting this year, and Dwayne's averaging like 8.2, 3.8, 2 rebounds per game. Jay Crowder hasn't been good. His numbers have basically cut in half from last year. All right, here's my thing. I think Ty Lue is the worst head coach LeBron James maybe has ever played for.
Wow.
I think it's at least in his championship era. And as much as people hated David Blatt, that was a guy who was going – everyone forgets this, right? Can they sort of alternate – we haven't talked about the Mandela effect here on the show, have we?
No.
I have on the radio show. Do you know what the Mandela effect is?
No.
Okay, what are the famous words that the Wicked Witch says to the mirror on the wall?
Don't tear me a thunder.
No, I'm serious. Like, just I'm going to prove that there's alternate universes in this one sentence.
Oh, my gosh. Was it mirror, mirror on the wall? Who's the fairest of them all?
She never said in the Disney film. Point is, the Mandela effect are all these things that, like, 95 to 100% of the population remember one way that never happened. And if you go through it, it's like mind blowing. And one theory is that we just collectively don't remember things very well. But the other theory, and the one I happen to favor, is that it is proof that CERN or some other entity has either created a rip in the fabric of time, and therefore the alternate reality or sort of details are trading places, and or there's been time travel that has slightly affected sort of the outcome of things. An example, I know you don't like classic music, but the song by Queen, We Are the Champions, if you watch Celebrity Karaoke, they're like, we are the champions, and then they last line, of the world. They sing of the world. I sing of the world. Reed, if you had a good taste in music, you would sing of the world, but it's not of the world as the last line of the movie, of the song. Why? Mandela effect. Here's my point.
First of all, I love Queen, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So you know, like Oscar Mayer is spelled incorrectly. You know what the Bernstein Bears are, right?
Yeah.
And you're a speller. You and I get mad at each other all the time because you once told me if you can't do grammar, you can't write. And I can't do grammar. I'm a superior writer to you.
He cannot do grammar.
Not anymore, first. Unfortunately. All right, Bernstein Bears. How do you spell Bernstein?
It should be – well, it is B-E-R-E-N-S-T-E-I-N. I know it that that's correct, but only because I looked at it, I was like, huh, that looks like it's spelled wrong.
It's not E-I-N. It's A-I-N.
What?
It should be E-I-N.
What does this have to do with Mandela?
You're remembering what happened before the space-time continuum ripped. Here's my point. Because a bunch of people in a study were convinced and watched the news that Mandela died in captivity in South Africa. There's a bunch more examples. Remember, like, I once told you to Google the singularity and you were, like, depressed for 7 weeks?
Yeah, yeah. That threw me off, man.
Do that on the Mandela effect. Here's how this comes back to the Flagrant 2 podcast about the NBA with Bill Ryder and Reed Forgrave. Or, in an alternate universe, Bill Schmider and Schmied Schmorschmave. Here's the point. In one of these alternate universes, David Blatt is one of the most highly regarded young coaches, or not young, new coaches in the NBA. He is the coach of the Lakers. LeBron is excited to play with him, is throwing shade at his current head coach. And here's why. David Blatt had actually agreed to be the number two in Golden State under Steve Kerr. He took the job. And then when he got the Cavs job, he could go back to Kerr and be like, I'm really sorry I got this head coaching job. And Kerr's like, no problem. At the time, Popovich was giving Blatt tons and tons of respect and was talking about how great he was. And Pop's not exactly a guy that walks around praising other people's basketball acumen. In this alternate universe, David Blatt becomes the number two at Golden State. They win a bunch of games. They win championships. He gets a high-powered job with Los Angeles, and the rest is history. My point is this. Not all these coaches LeBron has had have been awful. I think Spo's an amazing coach. He survived the LeBron effect. I think David Blatt's a highly unlikable guy to other people that covered him. Now, I didn't, but I did have a lot of interactions with him in a TV interview, and I liked him, but he was incredibly arrogant, right? The kind of arrogance you can pull off after success, not before. My point is I think Ty Lue is actually a bad coach under the LeBron effect. I really do. Here's why I think LeBron's going to be okay. That was a really long, winding alternate universe.
Did you take hallucinogens before this podcast? please keep bringing it around.
Speaking the Mandela effect to everything. Like,
my brain is you just completely tore my brain asunder, bro.
When I like have Thanksgiving with the in-laws, they're like, can you pass the turkey? I'm like, it's funny you say the expression pass the turkey.
Yes. You think this is turkey, but in the rip of the space-time continuum.
Joey's like, we just went from four listeners to two. Think about quitting, and they're each of your mothers. Here's why I'm not worried about LeBron James's team yet. I'll give you two answers why I'm not worried as it relates to making the NBA Finals, and why I think there's an interesting sign that they're not nearly the team that he's had in the past. Twice when LeBron James has started on a new basketball team, the difficulty of absorbing LeBron's personality and adjusting to the difference between if you're a player, seeing LeBron from a distance or being friends with him and playing with him have led to really bad starts. 9-8, his first year with the Miami Heat, when somebody, LeBron James, called Chris Broussard, who I believe his title then was carry water for LeBron's guys, trying to get LeBron fired. Well, Chris called and like screamed at me, like mother me. I'm like, aren't you super like pious? Like, why are you swearing at me? This is really confusing. I'm trying to have my breakfast in Miami. LeBron tried to get Spoelstra fired. 9-8, tons of stress, tons of pressure. What happens? Miami team makes the NBA Finals and would have won if LeBron doesn't collapse against Dallas. And then everybody forgets this. First year they return to Cleveland as late as January 15th. I think about that. What is that? 2.5 months from now in an NBA season, they were below 500. They were 19-20.
That's wild.
Team makes the NBA Finals, right? Gets crushed by the Warriors. And
that's all you remember. Yeah. But you do remember it as a completely different thing.
And if I – this I might be off on, but I'm pretty sure, because he's trying to like adjust to Kyrie, or Kyrie is adjusting to him, I'm pretty sure LeBron waited all the way to mid-January to start, like, he handles the ball a lot, but when LeBron like says he's the point guard and makes those headlines and news, that's a message to the team. I think it's about LeBron's control. He waited to January 15th to do that, right? 2015. It's already happened here before November. The headlines about LeBron's the point guard now. So I think LeBron's asserting himself much more quickly. I think they'll be fine. Now, all of that said, that kind of turmoil always indicates things to come, right? LeBron tried to get Spoelstra fired. Tried. Didn't work. David Blatt did not make it another season and a half. He made it through that season because LeBron didn't want the blame. But he got fired like with a big-time winning record the following year.
Right. So
yeah. I think that the Cavs will be fine, but I think there are some fissures here that are going to be a real problem. And when you cast it a lightning, I think they're not as good a team as they were last year. Yep. I think the problems and like we were seeing will manifest themselves in a more severe way when they play the Warriors in the finals, or they get, you know, if somebody emerges a true contender in the East. But I do think like it's a problem, but it's not a sky is falling problem. I think history has shown us this is part of the deal of learning to play LeBron James.
But look, the equation of when they have to figure it out for the playoffs is going to be completely different than the equation they're working with right now, because when Isaiah Thomas gets in this lineup, it completely changes the entire dynamic. So they got 2 months to figure this out, and then they got a completely new problem. It's a good problem to have, obviously, but it just completely changes the face of that team.
I mean, here's the thing. Never doubt short guys. Reed, how do you spell Oscar? How do you spell Oscar Meyer? How do you spell the Meyer in Oscar Meyer?
M-A-Y-E-R?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, they're supposed to be in it. All right, the show – oh, this is one that blew my mind. What's the name of the show involving Carrie Bradshaw? It takes place in New York. It's about four women who have way too much sex.
Sex and the City.
Right. It's Sex and the City.
What?
No, dude, it's not. There's alternate universes, I'm telling you. I remember it as Sex in the City, too.
Yeah, so do I.
Wow. Sex and the City. That's not a thing. That's all. All right. The Monopoly Man doesn't have a monocle. The Bernstein Bears, we've already... Curious George never had a tail. I remember Curious George having a chair. Chick-fil-A is not spelled the way that you think it is. How do you think Chick-fil-A is spelled?
I would have said like C-H-I-C-K, but it is probably C-H-I-K, right?
It's actually C-K. Darth Vader never says, Luke, I am your father in the movie. Those words never appear.
What?
There's what?
One of the most iconic lines in cinematic history never happened.
Not anymore. Time travel, CERN.
Oh, my gosh. Something.
Sinbad. This is one of my favorites. Sinbad never played a genie in a movie from the 90s. I remember that.
Who did play the genie?
What is the famous line that Forrest Gump said when he was sitting on a park bench holding candies and treats?
Life is like a box of chocolates.
Yeah, he never said that. He said life was like a box of chocolates.
That's pretty.
Is it?
I mean, I don't think it introduces a fissure in the galaxy, or maybe
it doesn't introduce it at all. You're not listening. It reveals a fissure that's been introduced by something else. You're confusing cause and effect.
Introduce could be like meet this fissure. This fissure is sitting here. You are being introduced to it.
Kobe and Shaq never won a championship together? I'm just f***ing you guys.
I really had to think. Right. Wait a second. God, what is happening?
I hijacked the podcast. The Mandela effect. Joey looks horrified. Yeah, whatever, Joey. I've seen your beard. You look like a guy that'd be on the street screaming about the end of the world. Chill, bro. Hey, Joey. You might want to timestamp this one. I like watching him turn his right the times down.
When I was in Kansas City once, a guy came up to me and I'm with my 4-year-old son walking around one of the fountains, and this guy says to me, he's like, hey man, can I have a dollar? And I was like, sorry dude. And he's like, you and your child are gonna die. And it was like,
no.
It was the scariest moment, and I was like, I don't even remember if I reacted or if I just scurried away or if I was like off. I have no idea, but it scared the crap out of me.
Would have been fascinating to be like, And if I give you a dollar, do we live then? Like, what's your, like, where does this logic go? Does he have an answer?
Bill's not worried about the emotional experience, but instead wants to work through the logic of this. sir, I don't think you've thought this through.
I will cast you a rainstorm. I will cast you a rainstorm. I can't pronounce anything. Reed, you know this guy. You were around him quite a bit. You know the people that at his former program in Washington. I know that I drafted him on my Jonah Carey League of Leagues fantasy team, and he's been hot garbage. Markelle Fultz is out indefinitely. He will be reevaluated in 3 weeks with this shoulder injury. This obviously comes on top of, has compounded, has overshadowed, has contributed, whatever, the shooting story we've talked about with his reworking his free throw shooting and his shot's been awful. The story just keeps getting worse and worse for the Sixers organization. You are CBS Sports' draft guru. You have told me many things about the draft that were right, that I thought improbable, that also lead me to believe there's a parallel universe because you're not that smart. What do you make of this?
Completely forgot this was a basketball podcast for the past like 15 minutes. But
is it a basketball podcast?
Is it though?
Want to hear my Batman?
Where's the aliens?
Oh my god! It's Monday, bro.
Nobody. No, it is Monday. Yes. It is okay. Monday.
What's that line from Major League? Bob, no one's listening to this. Nobody's listening to this.
Oh, you will remember that I, in my mock drafts, put Jason Tatum and Lonzo Ball both ahead of Markelle Fultz.
Markelle Fultz is run down Reed Braggs out of nowhere.
Reed Braggs. That's a good part of
you
the
did. Rundown. No, you did. Dude, you were.
I caught so Tatum. Much for that, by the way. I caught so much.
Why are you making Joey Mark?
I'm trying to make Joey as miserable as possible. That's just how I roll. Look, Markelle Fultz can shoot. He shot 42% in college. With this shooting form thing, I think it's always been which came first, the chicken or the egg. Did the shooting form go bad because he had a problem in his shoulder, or did the shooting form cause the problem in his shoulder? Which tore which a thunder is the question. Talking about here. But look, when he was at Washington, he was scoring 23 a game off double teams and triple teams. He was the guy. This guy is not. He looks like a scrub, right? Like, he looks like
some dude scrub.
Who went to a YMCA.
He's so tentative, and you're like, right? Like, that's the thing that scares me. That worries me.
It's like the Steve Blass effect. Talking about the Steve Blass disease, right? We'll go from the Mandela effect to Steve Blass disease. Steve Blass is the pitcher for the Orioles, and he just suddenly couldn't throw the ball home, just like Mackie Sasser with that.
Chuck Knobloch.
Exactly.
Maybe you with the women.
Hello, or what? Who's the pitcher?
Actually,
for the Cardinals?
No. Rick we have a friend. Man. We have a friend in common. I can't say who it is. You think he listens to this? There's any chance he listens to this podcast?
I'm not sure. I don't know which friend you're leading toward.
Can I use his first name?
Yeah, absolutely.
We have a buddy. We went to his wedding. Named Dave. Who's a pretty normal guy, like worked out, right? Like makes money.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, "Oh, are you having a beer?" Like, what's not that you and I are some kind of players, but we can like complete full sentences with women before we got married. Remember what I'm talking about? We'd be like at a bar and like we'd all be hanging out and then women would come over. It was like watching the guy from the 40-year-old virgin. And like a girl would be, "Hey guys, hey Reed, do remember me from college?" And he would be like,
"Face get red.
I don't remember you." It would just be like, and they'd like make this like, anyway, sorry. You reminded me of that. Like, that effect. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't even remember.
It's barely a basketball podcast.
Is this
podcast
a basketball podcast?
I don't know, man. An inside joke that no one will know
lost.
About.
I'm so lost.
It sucks.
Markelle Fultz is going to be fine.
You think so?
Yeah, in time. I think they got to be patient with him. Why all of a sudden you have this process that's been going on for 3 or 4 years? There's results expected for the first time this year.
But the wrong people are in charge. Here's something that I thought about, right? Yeah. The people that are in charge now didn't do the process, don't have a sense of patience. By the way, producer Joey's really good at his job. He predicted the Knicks to be in the playoffs, and he was anti-Sam Hinkie. I'm just going to speak for him. I worry that, like, yeah, the process is all well and good, but if you bring in someone who's the new regime, who got hired and owes their situation, we can still hear the cough, bro. You got to move the microphone all the way away. You all right? All right?
Should I try it again?
Yeah, no, do it again, like this. See that? Not even, still completely heard that. I'm not sure I trust this organization to continue the process. They got hired under the idea of now, not later. And I worry and wonder if Fultz both was psychologically sort of affected by his injury and the shooting thing and had an injury that requires him to shut it down. Why in the fuck didn't they evaluate this sooner?
Why in the fuck did he change his shooting form without consulting with his team beforehand before he ever plays an NBA game? Like, this is one of the weirdest situations.
That doesn't mean that your team is entitled to be like, yeah, that. So let's definitely make him play hurt and ruin his confidence. Like, sure. But he's a 19-year-old. They're the adults.
Right. Absolutely. The pushing out of Sam Hinkie, I think, will go down as, I don't want to say one of the worst personnel decisions in history. Terrible.
Yeah, but be that as it may, my point is he's not in charge anymore. Yeah. And there's a philosophy of now. And we contribute to that, right? Like, guys like you and I and fans, there's a legitimate perspective out there that they could finish like 4-7. I don't think 4-7 is that. 4 might be a little outrageous, but 7's not.
Sure, not like, at all. I mean, I think if they
– I talk to the league is like, yeah, they could absolutely make the playoffs. Probably won't. They could, because players are usually a lot more reticent to give young guys respect. But there's a sense they're in that range. And that creates pressure. And you got to be able to push back on that. I don't know if your number one overall draft pick has a shoulder injury and is shooting like Reed Forgrave.
You are – you give me a lot of credit because my shooting form is actually worse than that, if you can imagine.
I think injury is good news, though.
You think it ends in good news? Is that what you said?
It is good news for Philly.
Oh, they are taking him out. Yes, absolutely.
May not reflect well on who's in charge. Like, the storyline should be, why didn't you guys identify this earlier?
Yeah. Where the hell were you in July? Yeah.
When he was shooting, you know, 1% from the field, but an injury you can fix, you know, as you alluded to earlier, the yips are harder to do.
Yep. Yeah, this could be one of those examples of an organization ruining a player. I don't think it will. I think it is way early to say that. You got to let him heal up and, you know, kind of press the restart button. But to be pressing the restart button on your career 2 weeks in is – it's just not a situation you want anybody to be in.
Can we give producer Joey something else?
Yeah.
He can speak for himself for 3 words or less. Joey, you were also down on Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
He's the truth.
I watched that game. I watched their game this past week. I watched the game they played against the Heat. Yeah. A lot of easy assists for him. He still can't shoot.
Can't shoot at all.
Could Kawhi shoot when he entered the league?
He's not better than Ben Simmons.
Could LeBron shoot when he entered the league?
Better than Ben Simmons.
I'm not asking better. I'm not saying could they shoot.
They could shoot. LeBron could shoot a three-pointer when he entered the league, so all could right, Kawhi.
Joey's done talking. That's more than 3 words. You look so mad.
I hope you guys are right about. I hope you guys are right about them fixing Fultz's shot while he's shut down, because they didn't do it to Ben Simmons. His shot is broken.
Hey, buddy. I know that you did an interview with D'Angelo Russell, and but like, there's no reason to have worn the yellow suit to work today. We're the only people that can see you on the Skype. It looks really good.
I'm so confused.
I don't know. Yeah, so am I.
what am I? It's like, it's really early in the morning. I have not been drinking, I promise.
Why are you down on Ben Simmons, Joey? Like that.
I'm not down.
Triple double. He looks awesome.
I'm fine with
Joey Stubber.
I'm okay with the numbers. He can't ultimately, if he's going to be the best player in your team, which is what they want him to be, or a second best player, he's got to be able to score. And when he's playing against good wing players, he's not going to be able to score.
No. Joey also has the Knicks as a playoff team, a pick that's looking better, although not great after that win against the Cavs.
Two in a row.
Did you also predict Orlando and the Nets?
No, I didn't.
As a playoff team?
No, but they
Orlando's playing well, actually.
New York blew the Nets out the other night. They have two straight blowouts.
Yeah, no, I got a big bet over on the radio show between two guys in the show, between Knicks and Nets. Reed, real quick before we get to our LeBron James interview. LeBron James and LeBron. Bradley Beal basically put a chokehold on Draymond Green. Draymond Green responded by pushing him more or less into the second row of the stands. You saw the fight. We all saw the fight. $50,000 for Beal, $25,000 fine for Draymond, $15,000 for Oubre, a few other guys suspended for a game for leaving the bench. Are you surprised? I'm actually shocked Beal was not suspended.
Yeah, I think he should have been suspended. And frankly, I thought Draymond was going to get suspended, and I was all ready to rant about it being unfair because it was just because he has this history with the league and he has a reputation.
Yeah, that's difficult.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting. This is a drop in the bucket to these guys. This means absolutely nothing. I think that goes all on Beal. And if you're
Draymond, did you see Oubre like actually land a full on punch? But he landed on Beal.
I think it was John Wall, the back of John Wall's head.
Oh, I believe, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
But a full on punch.
What an idiot! And he got fined for it.
You should be suspended for several games. Like when you. And by the way, it wasn't like one of these little like. Slap, like I've never fought because I'm 6'9" and no one's ever fought me before. It was a like, I mean, he's a real tough guy. Like I'll give him that. He knows how to throw a punch, but he should have been suspended for time. And it, to me, it's a really interesting abdication of the NBA sort of authority and history of coming down on people when they even ever since the Malice in the Palace, not that it was that, but brush up on the edge of like actual violence, right? Even like approach the conversation of actual violence. I'm shocked Oubre is not missing. I mean, I'm shocked he's not missing games.
I wonder if it's because of the teams. Like, if this were two teams that no one gives a shit about, if they would have sent a message. But I agree, especially on Bradley Beal, because he was the instigator. And then also, I mean, look, if Kelly Oubre connected with a Warrior, I think we'd be talking 5 games, 10 games, almost certainly. It's an interesting deal. He hit his own teammate, and doesn't end up getting suspended.
I'm gonna be so pissed off when Simmons like washes out of the league in a year. The Knicks finishes the 7th seed and make a freaking run, and D'Angelo Russell does in fact become the godfather to Joey's secret child. It's all when all the all right, the third one isn't a real prediction.
Mandela effect.
Grind.
What's that?
Mandela effect.
Grind, bro.
Mandela effect, bro. you know what's true in any universe, this one or the other one, that buying tickets to sports and concerts is, you know, complicated. But there's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just 2 taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the absolute best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. Excuse me. Reed and I both have the SeatGeek app on our phones. It's by far, at least for us, the easiest way we've found to shop for tickets. We can do it anywhere, just a few taps, instantly find seats. In fact, Reed, you use your SeatGeek app to buy tickets to Arcade Fire last night. How was it?
Last night, it was an absolutely incredible show. Thank you, SeatGeek.
Best of all, if you want to go see Arcade Fire or anything else, country music if you're Reed, our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. It's okay. Don't be ashamed of who you are. That's right. $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code I today. That's E-Y-E as an I spy. No, it's not. That's wrong. E-Y-E. That's promo code E-Y-E for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. The concert was cool.
It was awesome. It was awesome. They were floor seats, which I much prefer. And it was like a theater in the round. So it's basically like a boxing ring, and they have like, I don't know, 13 or 14 members of their band. So they're all facing different spots. It was absolutely unreal.
They're awesome. Are they good live?
Oh, they're awesome live. They're so good live. I've seen them once before at Lollapalooza. And
where are you going with this?
I touched Win Butler, their lead singer. I touched him on his way out. Gave me 5. It was awesome. I'm never going to shower again. Yeah, it was incredible, man. And like, you know me at concerts, I like to get close. I like to get a little crazy. So just the idea of having floor seats is, it's a little thrill. It's a little thrill for me, Billy.
I'm just letting you go.
No. You want me to tell you about the set list?
No, I don't. By the way, can we welcome on LeBron James onto the show?
Hey, LeBron. All right.
He's really busy. His people told me that we have to get him on and off. There's no pleasantries, no how you doing, no welcome to the show. We just have to go straight into the questions. You ready, Reed? All right, LeBron James, welcome onto the show. The King, LBJ, LeBron, I know you don't want to do any sort of pleasantries or talk about Reed touching people at Arcade Fire, so let's just get into it. Another rough one. LeBron doesn't care, bro. LeBron, Reed had a real bad night last night. His kid was up all night after the concert. Hey, LeBron, on top of that, another rough one for you guys. You guys lost to the Knicks. How are you feeling?
Listen, for me, I can't worry about what everybody say about me. I'm LeBron James.
He's LeBron James. I mean, that kind of says it all. We weren't really asking your name, though. Just kind of wanted to know about last night's game. You guys have lost 4 or 5. All four have been to pretty bad teams, LeBron. Nets, Magic, Knicks, Pelicans. What's the biggest problem right now?
What month is this for me? What is this? October? Wrong guy to ask. I'm too positive right now.
Yeah, you sound like Mr. Positivity. Are we going to start a Disney movie called I'm Angry, I'm So Mad, I'm LeBron? Okay, LeBron, don't hang up. Don't hang up. You know, I'm just kidding around. It's Mandela Effect. It's got me all nervous about parallel universes. LeBron, who should we ask if it's not you, other than like October, just about the basketball? Is it Ty Lue, maybe head coach? He said last night's loss was unacceptable.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, sounds like you don't take what your coach has to say very seriously. But seriously, what do you really think about his comments?
That makes no sense in the world. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, LeBron, you're funny. All right. So, all right, King. So are you okay? Let's be serious. Are you okay with how your team is playing this losing streak? And we brought this up earlier in the show. You've seen these before. You've gone on NBA Finals. Does that mean that this losing streak is, I don't know, somewhat acceptable?
I feel confident because I'm the best player in the world. That's simple.
I mean, you could also say what's simpler than numbers. The numbers have you guys as the 27th ranked defense and the 15th ranked offense in the NBA. You're saying it's all good?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what's so funny. I'm not really sure what to make of your laughter. Are you guys okay or not?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, LeBron, are you, Bill might think you're in a different, like, parallel universe. We're actually kind of concerned about you. You losing it a little bit. You sure you're okay?
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Reed, I think he's actually laughing at us, not with us. I thought we were friends. I felt like there was a bonding thing. Uh-huh. I was going to see if LeBron wanted to get a beer later or play some golf. All right, LeBron, last one. Obviously, you don't want to be here. Let's do this. Just like in the movie A Few Good Men, where like there's like a secret code. Laugh. Don't say anything. Just laugh if you're going to be a Laker next year. Yeah.
Oh, LeBron.
Oh, you did it,
there we go, man.
I'm leaving you. Hey, LeBron, laugh if you are your favorite host of this podcast. Good. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. My goodness.
See you, LeBron. Thanks, buddy. Thank you, LeBron. LeBron. Appreciate you. All right.
Brooke, some news right there.
I mean, dude, like, that's what we do on the Flagrant 2. We are serious. We talk hoops. We don't talk alternate universes. We talk to the real LeBron James. And you are well rested. You want to keep going? All right, Russell Westbrook became the first player in NBA history to record a triple-double against every team he's faced. With his triple-double Saturday versus the Bulls, he had 12, 13, and 13 read. Simple question, philosophical question. I'm curious your take, and then I'll give you mine. Do the triple-doubles matter?
Yeah, absolutely. I know we want to advance stat everything up these days, but look, it's a nice round number, 500 home runs, 3,000 hits, getting a triple-double. I know some of his triple-doubles aren't always the best. I think they can be some kind of cheap triple-doubles where he's getting all the rebounds tipped to him. But yeah, I think it absolutely matters because the history that is attached to that statistic.
All right, so I'm going to throw players' cliches back at them. Often NBA players and athletes feed us the media and through us fans cliches like we're stupid or like we're, you know, like this is the answer. But I'm going to take it at face value and I'm going to throw their cliche back at them to refute what you just said. all that matters is winning. All these guys care about is championships. All they really want is for the team to be great. I think that Westbrook's triple doubles are utterly and totally meaningless in the context of how players have defined excellence for a generation to the media and to fans. If he doesn't advance to at least a post Durant conference finals, and I know it's hard to say further because of the Warriors, but whatever, you know, last year, clearly you can sort of dive into the numbers. He had several rebounds tipped to him. That was probably an artificial season long triple double or pretty close. He is playing well this year. He is an amazing player. He's a stunning player, but LeBron James, you and I have been friends for 2 decades. Like, remember what I wrote about that guy when he was in Miami? I was pretty hard on LeBron.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I was wrong, but I was pretty hard, right? And it wasn't because he was LeBron, because I think it was accurate. And the greater you are, and the more you sort of demand respect, and the more that you sort of chase history, and the more you talk about yourself in the context of the greats, the more you accomplish, I think the higher the standards you should be judged by. Westbrook is an MVP. He's a guy that clearly covets a triple-double. And he's one of the highest paid players in the history of the game. You got to do more in the postseason. The triple doubles have to be about more than statistics. And I think that if he doesn't, and this is a year where, I mean, Melo and Paul George, we've talked about, like, I think there's a lot of upside and I think there's a lot of downside still. I think they are meaningless in the context of what actually matters if he doesn't accomplish something in the postseason. That said, that judgment doesn't come for years. He is rebuilding from scratch the ash heap that Kevin Durant left behind, and he's already turned it into something very serviceable and impressive through his excellence. So I'm not saying, like, judgment is coming tomorrow, but if in 4 years this team has never advanced to a conference finals, I do think they're meaningless.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the idea of the Warriors being there, like you brought up, like, that does change the dynamic. Say again?
The Warriors aren't playing well.
Right, but I mean, they will be fine when it comes down to it. So I think holding Russell Westbrook to the you got to make a finals, but I think you're right. I think he does have to make a conference finals for these to matter. They're still impressive. Like, as a fan, just as a basketball fan, I love watching Russell Westbrook play, and I appreciate being able to say, wow, he had a triple-double tonight.
I love watching.
It's kind of a different thing, you know?
And I also don't think it does. Like, I think, like, one thing that I think to try to add, because we don't do nuance very well in this society, and we certainly don't do it well, people who cover the NBA, you know, or talk about it, just as a country, because, like, things aren't black or white, and there's just sort of a lot of gray areas in between. One thing that I think is interesting is that last year's triple-doubles, to me, were fairly meaningless, but if he continues to get triple-doubles on a team that has some meaning because of the talent that's been put around him, if he adapts his game to not just the stats, but to the excellence that's been brought in on what feels like a one-year rental with Paul George, right? I think you sort of assessed last year differently, too. And I'll say this, and Joey, you'd know this. Was it over the weekend? I think there was, and I didn't see the game. It was more like a post-box score and trying to get through League Pass and watch clips of it. But there was a game where Steven Adams, Westbrook, George, and Melo all had 20 or more points. And it's just a reminder, like, there is so much firepower there, and there was some balance in the scoring, which I thought was a really good sign. Like, I would much rather have each of those guys score 22 than one of those guys go off for 37, you know? I mean, like, that kind of sharing and that kind of balance, I think, bodes well, not just for the future, but for what Westbrook's triple-doubles are going to mean. Joey, do you know the game I'm referring to? Producer Joey?
Not off the top, but I can.
It's okay.
I was at the Friday night game against the Timberwolves.
It might have been the T-Wolves game, actually.
Yeah, Steven Adams was awesome. I think he is he is my favorite, like, role player in the NBA because he knows what he wants to do. When that team moves the ball around, they are something else to watch. It was a high-level game. I was at the night before, I was at Bucks Celtics, and it was just an absolute clunker. Timberwolves at their best and Thunder at the best, just two really, really fun teams to watch. But when they move the ball, I think they're great, and that is clearly going to be the problem because there was some ball movement, and then they go into, like, your turn, my turn basketball.
Yeah, it was the game I'm thinking of. They lost that game, but it was a really good game.
Oh, it was a phenomenal game. Yeah, it was great. It was big-time shot at the end to win it.
Yeah, that's what it was. The only thing, like, wasn't Roberson awful in that game? I think he was.
He's always kind of awful.
Yeah. Actually, I think he played pretty good D. Like on the little, on the few clips that
I
saw.
Yeah, always awful when he gets the ball in his hands.
I know this isn't in the rundown, but I'm like, how good are the T-Wolves? You've seen them in person. Are you?
I think they're awesome. They lost. So like opening night, lose to the Spurs. Okay, but then they get blown out two games in a row. So Pacers and Pistons, like really odd games. But it was when Jimmy Butler was out with an upper respiratory infection.
Right.
He came back Friday night, and like he's the heart and soul of that team. And everyone else plays just with a little more fire under their ass when Jimmy Butler's out there.
Under their what?
Under their
was that
their
the game butt? That Wiggins banked in the winter?
No, because that was a week before in Oklahoma City. But it was. I mean, it was another game that was coming right down to it. They looked last year. The Timberwolves' problem was they couldn't finish. They were awful in fourth quarters. They blew so many leads. Jimmy Butler's changed his team's character.
Interestingly, and I actually like Paul George, the little that I've been around him. But Paul George was the guy that complained about not getting to take the last shot in Indy. I know it's a different thing in Oklahoma City. Has never hit a buzzer beater in his life. 0-for-3 in that fourth quarter.
Yep.
I mean. And Westbrook was like lights out. He took over that fourth quarter.
Westbrook was amazing. The
15. I was
talking to Billy Donovan after the game, and we asked him, you know, what did you think of that last shot? It's basically Melo taking a not a great look, contested three, and Russ dished to him for it. And Billy Donovan he's like, oh, what? Last year you rip on Russ because he shoots too much. Now you're going to rip on him because he passes too much. I think it is a really good sign that Russ is doing this early in the season, sharing early in the season, because I think that's going to pay dividends.
Can't you praise Russ for passing and criticize Melo for taking a contested shot? Can it be both?
Yeah, I think you can.
Melo's not a bum yet. I'm not there yet. This is a fun podcast. By the way, no one's listening at this point. I mean, I don't think, but parallel universes are, by the way, our scientific theory that are based on actual science, and I believe in them. And the Mandela effect blows my mind. I don't care what – because CERN released a statement saying we did not do anything to shift the space-time continuum. They did. Like, this is ridiculous. Non-denial. It's a denial.
Like my old neighbor, like an utter conspiracy theorist. I love it.
What do you mean conspiracy? That's like being like
– conspiracy, bro.
That's like living in New York and not believing there's a Chicago. There are alternate universes. The question is – you know, is there some cross-pollination going on?
I don't get it, dude. I don't get it. I don't know what CERN is. I don't know what
CERN is?
The Mandela effect is.
You know what CERN?
I do know the word asunder. That I can hang CERN, my hat on that for life.
The particle collider, that's a collection and a sort of a collaboration of some of the best scientists in the world, and there's concerns that they're going to like create a black hole on it. You know what CERN – dude, don't even – now, you know this.
Idiot? I mean –
in
cool.
any all and whatever universe we're in, Reed Forgave is still hashtag diva. I just Carl roved you. I just take the thing that's not true and just hammer it.
It was amazing. It was. You did rove me.
Hey, mom, thanks for making all the way to the end. Love you,
Maureen.
It's the Flagrant 2 with Bill Ryder and Reed Forgrave and producer Joey, who got real sensitive today when we poked fun at him. We're going to try to do less of that because he's a tender heart deep down. Subscribe on iTunes. Listen as much as you can. Rate and review and chuckle right now because Joey literally had to go back and bleep out this. Have a great day.